number two of the Bible study. This is the Ask the Pastor Hour. The chance to call in with questions or comments on just about anything as it pertains to religion, faith, church, or the Bible. Say good morning and welcome to our good friend, Pastor Richard Moore, pastor of St. Martin Lutheran Church in Winona, Minnesota. Used to be here at North County location, Emmanuel Chapel, but has taken a call and now is settled up in Minnesota. Good morning, Pastor Moore. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Were you easy to find this morning? Or
absolutely. I'm always easy to find.
Yeah. How was... How's the weather up there?
It's great.
Got any snow?
Oh, yeah. We have snow. We always have snow.
Yeah?
But,
how deep?
Or at least on the ground around this time, we always have snow.
How deep?
18 inches.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
But the roads are clear. The sidewalks are clear. The ice skating rink outside my window of my sliding glass doors of my house is clear.
Minnesotans know what to do with snow.
It's that's right.
Not a problem.
There's a park right out our dining room and their sliding glass doors, and they put an ice skating rink there this year.
Now, I don't want to put you on the spot here, but, you know, if the answer is nothing, then the answer is nothing. But I'm wondering here on the backside of the Advent sermons and preparation and the Christmas sermons research preparation you did, anything new, any new discoveries for Pastor Richard Moore as you worked through that? On the heels of all of that sermon
new writing? Discoveries. Yeah. You know, I've been at this 23 years.
Yeah, so we would assume that you know it all by now. And
well,
that,
I'm not sure I had any new discoveries, but I approached it different. I always approach things different. I approached it as, what would you wrap the perfect gift in?
Now, what would you wrap the perfect gift in?
Well, God chose to wrap the perfect gift first in flesh and then in swaddling clothes. I don't think we would have chosen either.
Absolutely not.
So, yeah.
But then we don't think the same way. We think
thank
backwards.
God he thinks differently than I do.
Our numbers are 505-7850 and 1-800-730-2727. Perhaps you had a revelation during the course of Advent and into the Christmas season, the season we find ourselves in now, and would like to share that. Or maybe during the course of that time, you scratched your head about something your pastor preached or taught, and you'd like to raise that here. One of the things we encourage people to do, because we know that sometimes these questions are questions that you'd like to ask, but maybe it's a little embarrassing, maybe it's a little awkward. And so you can call here and just remain anonymous if you like, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727 at the very least. You can't say to anybody, well, I got a question that's burning, but I just am afraid to ask anybody. You can do it here.
Yeah. Yeah, the other thing you need to realize is that there is more than a 90% chance there's at least 10 other people listening who are going, I don't know that either, but, you know, I wouldn't ask.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this question. This was a media release that came out on Christmas Eve, caught my attention. It's headlined, "The Lord Jesus Christ, the First True Libertarian." Now, wait a minute. His coming, most important political event in history. And here's the way it reads. The following statement has been issued by John Lofton, editor of the AmericanView.com and a radio show. Quote, "And Jesus answering said unto them, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God's. And they marveled at him." That's from Mark chapter 12. The religious significance of the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is well known. But what is not so well known and understood is that our Lord's birth is, quote, the most important single political event in history, unquote, as Dr. R.J. Rushdoony says in his book, The Foundations of Social Order, Studies in the Creeds and Councils of the Early Church. That was done in 1968. He says the coming of God in the flesh handed statism, that's not Satanism, that's statism, its major defeat in man's history because it established God as the true sovereign and the true source of law. Dr. Rushdoony notes, Western liberty began when the claim of the state to be man's savior was denied. The state then, according to Scripture, was made the ministry of justice. But wherever Christ ceases to be man's savior, there liberty perishes, as the state again asserts its messianic claims. Man is in trouble, and history is the record of his attempt to find salvation. Man needs a savior, and the question is simply one of choice: Christ or the state? No man can choose one without denying the other, and all attempts at compromise are a delusion. Thus, the key issue of our time is lordship or sovereignty. Who is the Lord or sovereign, Christ or the state? Christmas reminds us once again of the birth of this world's only true Lord or sovereign. We will either acknowledge him or be judged by him. What do you think?
I think he needs to read Romans.
Does that mean you disagree?
Well, what that means is that it is not an either-or. Christ is the Lord, if you will, the sovereign of the universe. There's no doubt about that. No one can deny that, nor should they attempt to. But what we find this man doing is he's saying that that's in opposition to any form of government or state. But if you go to Romans, you find that all authority is given by God, and therefore those who hold authority in the state are given that authority by God. And if God has given that authority, then it's not in opposition to his authority that the state rules. It is with his blessing that the state rules.
I would say that what you're saying makes sense to me, but it makes sense to me because I think you're coming at it from an ecclesiastical direction, from a biblical direction. Most folks don't do that. Most folks come at it from a secular perspective. And they do not know or do not acknowledge that the authority that they see in the state is coming from God. As a matter of fact, they believe the opposite.
And that's probably his point. His point is most likely that if you allow the state to be your God, then you have missed the sovereignty of the Lord. Okay? And I understand that. I would even agree with that. But to say that you cannot acknowledge the state, which is what he's suggesting in his terminology, is to go one step too far down the road, because the state's authority comes from God. Granting the state has authority does not diminish God's authority. It understands that all authority comes from God, and therefore even the state's authority comes from God.
Well, that's quite a hurdle, I think, to clear. If you, for example, you're a clergyman, you're going to have your collar on, at least part of the time.
Mm-hmm.
When some folks who are coming at this very question from a secular perspective see that you're a clergyman, you're going to be discredited from the start.
Well, absolutely. You don't have to listen to guys who wear their shirt backwards, for heaven's sakes, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, trust me, I know. There are people sitting in my pews who believe that.
Well, now we're getting to the heart of the matter. Exactly. Because, you know, one of the things that fascinates me, and I'll just offer a personal opinion here, which may be embraced or rebutted by our listeners if they want to chime in. I find it fascinating how in this country, in the United States of America, so many people believe that whatever the problem is, government is the answer. Now, our history, our roots, take us back to the founding fathers, who saw government as typically an institution of oppression. Therefore, in the founding documents, they just wrote in all kinds of checks and balances to make sure that government and its power and its authority was limited, so that men could be free and oppression could be
minimized.
But here we are now, 200 and some years later, and facing all kinds of issues, and everybody wants the government to solve it. That is statism.
Mm-hmm.
Save us. Government, save us.
Yeah, and that is, you know, and in that regard, I could agree with your author that we don't want to go there. The government is never our savior. The Lord is our savior. Whether it is in a secular problem or a religious question, it is still the Lord who is our Savior. He is the one who ultimately works all things together so that that which needs to be accomplished is accomplished.
The remarkable thing is President Bush's approval rating is somewhere, I think, in the low 30s. And the approval rating for the Congress is, I think, in the teens. It's just awful.
Mm-hmm.
It amazes me that
and rightfully
people,
so.
Well,
anyway.
Exactly. It amazes me that people who take such a dim view of government's ability to function immediately turn and appeal to government for solutions to their problems. I mean, the track record is pathetic.
Yeah, but you have to understand that what do we do with our children? Okay? We tend to rescue them when they get themselves into trouble over their head. So who's going to rescue us when we are the adults? People are looking for the government to step up and to play that role.
Well, and of course, what people don't seem to understand, where the naivete is that for some reason we don't trust Jesus and we don't trust Pastor Moore because, you know, they got some kind of religious agenda, but we're willing to trust the government again, even though the government has failed us time and time again. And all of history shows that when we entrust to the government power, abusive people find their way to that power, and we're back to oppression and even tyranny.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on my soapbox here. Sorry.
Makes your question, doesn't it?
Well, I read this media release, I scratched my head. Part of it seemed to make sense to me. Part of it was troubling to me.
Right.
Which is why I raised it with you.
Yeah, see, the problem is that we can agree with him because that was the whole basis of communism. You know, communism presented itself as a political process, if you will. But the truth of the matter is it was presenting itself as a god. Communism said it was the god and God wasn't the god.
Of course,
and it would take care
state.
Of you.
The state is God.
Right. And so what he is speaking against is the notion that the state can be, should be, or in any way should be treated as though it can fulfill the position of God in our lives, because it can't. And that I can agree with. But to say, to support a state, is to not have faith, or to turn away from God, is, you know, it's sort of like going one step too far down the road.
Our numbers are 505-7850 and 1-800-730-2727. Hi, Skip, you're on the Bible study. Good morning.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you, sir?
Good. Pastor, thank you for good morning.
Good morning.
And God's blessings to you. I have kind of a comment, question, deal, that I agree with you totally that the Lord is sovereign, and he does control everything, so does God. The Lord is God. But I have a real problem with the candidates that we've got right now running for president to rule this country, which was founded on faith, and none of them seem to be willing to absolutely proclaim the faith or to back up on it or do anything. They're going by opinion polls. And yes, what I'm asking is not your decision on who to vote for, but what should we be looking for?
I would think a strong prayer life. Sorry. Here's the deal, okay? Sometimes throughout history, and we find it in the Old Testament time and time again, God allowed his children to receive the government they deserved.
Oh, boy.
He allowed Assyria to come in and basically wipe them out. He did not allow them to be wiped off the face of the earth, but he did allow them to go into Babylonian captivity. He did allow them to have Persia and Assyria overthrow them. You know, God has given us a particular blessing, in my opinion, and that blessing is the state which he has given us that allows us to have a voice. If we were in a state where there was a king or an absolute ruler, according to Romans, we would have to honor that ruler. God has given us the privilege to select for ourselves those who will govern us, to be active in the government.
But I think the selection is not there. What do you do?
Well, whose fault is that?
Well, it's certainly not God.
I'm telling you is run.
Run?
Run.
Congressman Skip.
I can't do that.
But
you got to be a lawyer with all kinds of big
money. No. See, that's the problem. We are buying into this nonsense that they're selling.
Yes,
according
sir.
To the Constitution, you just have to be over 35 and an American citizen to run for president.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yes, sir.
Well, you know, what we have is we have a lot of Christians who have said, I won't dirty myself with politics.
Well, that's a lot.
Well, God has not said that politics is dirty. Politics is dirty because the salt and light of the world has stepped out and said, we'll let someone else do it.
Yes.
If you want to clean up the thing, find yourself a 20-year-old who is a godly person and help them see that one of the best ways they can serve the Lord is to maintain their godly Christian witness and run for office.
Yes, sir. I totally agree with that.
Now, in the meantime, what do you look for? If you're me and you have to vote for one of these guys, you pray that God would guide you. You look for someone who you believe will do the least amount of damage to all of the things that you think are important for the nation, and especially will not harm our ability to proclaim Christ.
That's the thing, is you have to look for somebody to do the less amount of damage.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Skip, thank you so much for the phone call. I appreciate it. We seem to have more church-state blurring of the lines going on in this political season than any time in my memory. Maybe I just wasn't.
You don't have a good memory, Chuck.
I know I don't have a good memory.
All right, well, the only reason I say that is, you know, Martin Luther King Jr. You remember him?
Sure.
Yeah, well, he pretty much blurred the lines between state and church.
But he did that as part of a movement, the civil rights movement. He was not a candidate for office, as I recall.
Here's my point.
I can't even remember debates where all the candidates were standing up there and, you know, you got 5, 7, 9, 10 candidates and they're all talking about religion.
Well, there weren't debates like this when Kennedy ran, but, you know, he was going to be the man who allowed the Pope to run America. Remember?
Correct.
Well, now you have
Romney. But I think most Americans knew that was a bogus charge.
Now you have Mitt Romney running, and you've got a bunch of people afraid that somehow Mormonism will become the state religion. They're making a big deal out of religion again. One of the things you have to understand is that the Constitution, and this isn't my area of expertise necessarily, but the Constitution does not say we will have freedom from religion. It says we will have freedom to practice our religion, and that the government itself cannot make any law that requires you to practice religion in any certain way. That's a far cry from there should be an absolute wall between religion and the state. In fact, the founders of the Constitution very clearly stated that only a democracy can only work in a situation where God's law is in the hearts and minds of the people, because left to our own devices, we will use a democracy to harm one another. But in a Christian setting, a democracy is best because all people work together for the common good.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Hi, Bob, you're on the Bible study.
Oh, hi. The last few comments that you were making there, I just wanted to clarify something. The Constitution, as interpreted by our courts, says that there is a wall of separation between church and state, but also that you can't support any religious point of view. In other words, the government cannot support any point of view. This does not mean that any individual can't have or practice religion any way they wish, but the state cannot promote any religious point of view.
I agree with that, Bob.
That includes theism.
Would you say that it? Would you say, Bob? Hey, Bob. Bob, can you hold on a second here? Hey, Bob. Hey, Bob.
Go ahead. Right.
Let me ask you one question. Would you agree? Let me ask you a question. Would you agree that it's equally true that the state cannot oppress any particular religious viewpoint?
Well, that's generally true. That it's almost universally true, unless that religious viewpoint affects very seriously the health and safety of citizens.
Okay.
All right, so, in other words, it can prevent certain religious practices that are dangerous,
like polygamy,
to the public
in the case of Mormonism.
What?
Like polygamy in the case of Mormonism.
Or child sacrifice.
That has been interpreted as the state, so far anyway, the Supreme Court has interpreted the state can prevent polygamy.
Okay, what's your question now?
Okay, the question that I really wanted to ask was, you were talking about various presidential candidates. How about somebody like Huckabee? Huckabee seems to be, in most respects, the kind of person that I would think most of the people that listen to this station would want to support. And I would want you to comment on Huckabee. He is
Why would you come to that conclusion, Bob?
Huh?
Why would you come to that conclusion?
Well, he's a Baptist minister. He has, in all ways, in all indications, he's taken the point of view on the social issues that most of the people that listen to this station or talk on this station present. All I'm asking you is, what is your comment about Huckabee? Why would he not be the ideal candidate of the religious people?
All right.
Just comment on that.
We'll
That's
talk about it. Thanks for the call. Pastor, I have a response to that as well.
Oh, don't.
So, but I'm going to let you go first.
For the same reason that I am not the ideal pastor for all people. We are not, and I will not, go out and endorse a candidate on this radio program, nor will I tell you that merely because someone is a pastor that they would make the best candidate. I will go back to my original statement, and that is, look at what they've said. Look at whether or not you believe they would be best for this nation. Look at whether they have what you think are the criteria to be the political leader of this nation. You cannot try to make this nation into a theocracy. God never claimed it as his in a theocratic sense, as he did the children of Israel. And so there are reasons some people would view Huckabee as the perfect candidate. There are also reasons why people would view Huckabee as a complete disaster. I'm not going to tell you who to vote for. I'm going to tell you, look at what you think is important. Look at what the person says and does. Look at how you believe it will affect your life, your faith, your country, your ability to do the things you do on a daily basis, and then vote for the person that you think would be best. That's your responsibility as a citizen of this nation. The other thing I'd like to say to Bob is, when I talk about what the Constitution says, I don't necessarily agree, having read the Constitution and the documents that came before it, the Federalist Papers,
Hold on. Hold on. Pastor Moore. Hold on. What? I got to take a break here. We'll be right back.
With worldwide KFUO, there are now more ways than ever for you to be a part of the radio ministry of AM 850 KFUO. Monty emails, "Dear Todd, I want to thank you for your Issues Etc. broadcast. I listen to the podcasts on a regular basis, and as a campus pastor in the LCMS, I frequently use your topics for my Wednesday night gathering. We'd love to hear from you. Please visit our website, kfuo.org.
If you're seeking a job or a new career, turn to the Missouri Career Center, St. Louis County. Employers are looking to fill a wide array of positions. Workforce development professionals, part of the St. Louis County Department of Human Services, offer skill set identification, even training for qualified candidates. While you're there, check out greathires.org, Missouri's premier job search engine. For information, contact the Missouri Career Center, St. Louis County.
Scientists can't tell if it's plant or animal. Learn about it next on today's Creation Moment. And now, here's our Creation Moments host, Ian Taylor.
It's not exactly a plant, but it's not completely an animal either. It crawls like an animal and then grows, fruits and sows seed like a plant on a colourful stalk. Sometimes it acts like a single-celled creature with a refined social order. And sometimes all those single living cells fuse into one giant organism. Scientists aren't sure whether the strange and fascinating form of life, which goes by the inglorious name cellular slime mold, is a plant or actually an animal. In the normally moist forest floor, single amoebas, invisible to the naked eye, live in the moisture and the food provided by the decaying vegetation. But if the floor of the forest begins to dry or the food is scarce, the amoebas congregate. And as they come together, they combine into a tiny slug about a millimeter long and large enough to see. This group now behaves like a little creature and crawls to meet others of its kind who may be found standing on top of each other, forming a living stalk. More groups join to form a mass of spores at the top of that and hatch into individual amoebas when conditions are again just right for them. There is no simple life form. Even cellular slime mold shows the Creator's touch in its wonderful complexity and amazing way of life.
For a printed transcript of today's program, visit our website at creationmoments.com or call us toll-free at 1-800-42-BIBLE. That's 1-800-422-4253. And be sure to join us next time for another Creation Moment, proclaiming evidence of God's truth.
Did you know that most Christians can't name the Ten Commandments?
Boy, it'd be difficult. I could name a couple, but not the entire ten.
Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not take the Lord's name in vain. Thou shalt not... gosh, you got me.
Tune in to The White Horse Inn each week with host Michael Horton. White Horse Inn. Know what you believe and why you believe it.
Saturday afternoon at 12:30 on AM 850 KFUO.
With Weekend Magazine, you can expect something fresh and with substance. From interviews with Dr. Bill Meyer to special features, you'll always find something useful that'll carry you through to next week. So whatever you're doing this weekend, add a little bit of Weekend Magazine from Focus on the Family. It's a radio show perfect for whatever you're doing this weekend.
Saturday morning at 10:04 on AM 850 KFUO.
Tell you what, I just about burned my brakes up there on trying to stop Pastor Richard Morgan before the break. Woo! You were on a roll there.
Well, yeah.
Buzz, who works here at the station, wants to know if you're on a jelly roll or a hoagie roll.
Watch it.
All right, so separation of church and state, Federalist Papers.
Okay, what we have...
Can you pick it up where you were?
Yeah, sure. What we have is that, and I would just say to Bob, the fact that the current Supreme Court has made certain rulings, if you read the Federalist Papers and you actually read the Constitution for yourself, some of those walls that have been interpreted into the Constitution are not necessarily there. There is a sense in the Constitution, clearly, that the government shall make no laws to support or to enforce or to cause people to worship in a certain way or even a certain God. But this absolute separation that has been interpreted that suggests that therefore the government can have nothing that has any understanding of religion in it doesn't exist. You might note that both the Senate and the House open every day with prayer and they pay a chaplain. How do we do that, by the way?
Well, we do that
if we're not supporting
because of the
religion.
Free exercise clause of the Constitution.
Yeah. Except when it's me trying to freely exercise, but we won't go there.
That's the debate. That's the debate. Here's how I would answer Bob's question, and obviously we could sit down with Bob, I think, probably have a long conversation. But what Bob implied there, if I understood him correctly in his communication, is that this is a religious radio station, therefore it is listened to by religious people, therefore the religious people who listen to this religious radio station would be predisposed in the favor of the religious candidate Mike Huckabee. That's what I heard him assert. And I contend that that is a flawed assertion, and I would contend it's flawed because of this, and that is that the people who listen to this radio station sooner or later are going to hear something that we often refer to as a two-kingdom theology. A two-kingdom theology, which comes down to us from the Reformation, asserts that God governs in the affairs of men, both in the kingdom of the right, the church, and in the kingdom of the left, the state, where a lot of secular people believe that God is absent, that he governs in the affairs of men in both of those two places, and he does it differently. He forgives sins, for example, in the kingdom of the right, where he is he punishes sin or curbs sin in the kingdom of the left. Now, that's an overgeneralization, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the people who listen to this radio station, many of them understand that they function in this life in the kingdom of the right as a Christian and in the kingdom of the left as a citizen, and they can separate those two things, and they can examine candidates like Romney and Huckabee and Clinton and Edwards as a citizen informed by their Christianity, but not necessarily completely captivated by it, because there is something called the kingdom of the left and something called the kingdom of the right. Therefore, Bob's assumption is incorrect, that just because this is a religious radio station listened to by religious people, that they're in search of a religious candidate with no other qualifications necessary in that search. I think his assumption is incorrect. Any thoughts?
Works for me. Yeah, on several levels, I am bothered by the assumption that, you know, if I'm not allowed to say all Democrats or all Republicans think the same way, I'd really appreciate it if my fellow Christians didn't tell me all Christians have to, too.
Well, and in the final analysis, I think it's possible, Pastor Moore, for a devout, Bible-believing Christian to have a liberal perspective as a citizen as it pertains to government, or a conservative perspective as a citizen as it pertains to government. I think that those two stand separate.
No. Okay. Personally, I have a problem with one of them, but I won't tell you which one, so that's okay.
Let's take another call here. Our numbers are 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. James, you're on the Bible study. Good morning.
Good morning, Brother Chuck.
How are you today?
I'm doing well. Good morning, Pastor.
Good morning, James. Good to hear your voice.
It's good to hear you. I'm always refreshed and, I guess, confronted by your honesty. It always makes me think. Earlier you talked, I want you to finish your thought. You were going to say something about Martin Luther King and his movement as being against church and state, or straddling that particular line.
Oh, no. Not against church and state. Okay. My point is that Martin Luther King, who everyone would say did exactly what he had the right to do, today the Supreme Court might very well say he doesn't have the right to do any of it, because every time a Christian gets up and speaks publicly, someone tells us that if you do it on the Mall of Washington, like he did, then you are being supported by the government.
Oh.
Okay. My point is, it's only been in the last 20 or 30 years that we've gotten so blasted nitpicky about if you were to walk on something other than the sidewalk in a governmental mall, then all of a sudden you're being supported by the government. It used to be that we were able to stand up in a debate in the House of Representatives or the Senate and say, you know, the reason I'm opposed to this is because God's Word says. Now you would be screamed down because you're not allowed to bring God into the question.
Because it's no longer considered the public square?
Well, because now it's considered anything that is truly the public square must be devoid of religion.
Okay.
And I don't believe that I know the Scripture doesn't support that. And the Constitution does not say you have freedom from religion. You have freedom of religion. I have a right. When it says I have the freedom, I have free speech and the right to assemble and the right to proclaim, to worship the way I choose to worship, I have the right to stand in the middle of Times Square and proclaim Christ. You have the right to stand next to me and say I'm wrong. But you don't have the right to tell me this is public land. You cannot proclaim Christ on it.
All right. And Brother Chuck,
yes,
I'd like for you to comment on this also. We were talking about the candidates, but what will be an ideal candidate, Pastor? What is the ideal type of candidate? Does he have to be a philosopher king, a compassionate aristocrat, or... You know, someone like Bobby Kennedy. And I'll hang up and listen.
All right, thanks for the call. All right. Pastor, you want to, who's answering that?
Yes, I think he wants both of us to.
I'm
you want to go first?
I'm giving you the hot potato here.
Okay. I think the perfect candidate depends on the situation of the nation at the time. Period. There is no way for me to say the perfect candidate is always this. It depends on the situation at the time, what the nation is facing. I would like to see candidates who acknowledge the Lord. I would like to see personally candidates who pray. I think that's a good thing. I would like to see candidates who put the people and the welfare of the nation before their reelection. I would like to see a candidate who knows the difference between truth and a lie.
My response to James would be, again, folding it back on the question, what I heard James asking was, give me a definition of the perfect American candidate, and I don't think anybody can answer that. There is no such thing. There's a perfect candidate in Chuck's eyes, there's a perfect candidate in Richard Moore's eyes, and there's a perfect candidate in James' eyes, based on our preferences in the candidate. And, you know, you may...
And also...
That's
perfect,
what makes for elections.
Yeah, but the perfect candidate in my eyes is different now than it was in 1985.
Well, certainly.
Okay? So I would hesitate to go out and say this is what you have to find in a candidate. But I would not hesitate to have a private conversation with someone who says, well, I'm thinking this is the most important thing. What do you think is the most important thing this year? On a one-to-one basis, I'll have that conversation.
Exactly, on a one-to-one basis.
But in a public forum, I don't have the... That's when I'm here to preach Christ, not to elect a candidate.
Amen. And that is, and to me, what you have just done is to make a clear distinction between the kingdom of the left and the kingdom of the right. This program, this radio station, devoted to advancing the things of the right-hand kingdom... And if we want to sit down and have an individual discussion, Chuck with James or Chuck with Richard, whatever, I'm certainly capable of doing that within the context of citizenship. This is not a citizenship program. This is the Bible study. It's the Ask the Pastor Bible study, and we would not want to hinder the advancement of the gospel by dividing people over issues of the state. Does that make sense?
Works for me.
Works for you. Oh, man, I'm two for two on that.
I'll tell you,
okay.
You're going to have to stop calling me. We're getting along too well.
Bob's back. Bob, what's your question or comment?
Oh, okay. I just wanted to clarify a couple things. First of all, I'm glad that you got into the whole question of the kingdom of the right hand and the kingdom of the left hand. I think that was a very, very good thing to do, to sort of put things in an appropriate relief for understanding how one should look at citizenship obligations. And I think the comment that one of you made about a good Bible-believing Christian could very well vote for a very liberal candidate for a whole bunch of very good reasons. Now, the other thing that I wanted to clarify is someone said that Martin Luther King would be violating the Constitution. That's not true. In public parks, people will have prayer groups meeting, church youth groups meeting,
okay,
and praying.
Bob, hold on a second.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what happened. What
okay.
Pastor Moore said was that he suspects rather strongly that today it might happen that if a reverend were to move on to the mall in Washington, D.C., the way Dr. King did back in the late 60s, that option may be taken away from him because there are people in the society who assert such a stringent separation of church and state that his mere title as a reverend might be problematic. He was just asserting that that could be possible. He never said that it was a lock.
Okay, well, anyway, possible, it's very, very unlikely, okay?
Except just, I just know of situations
that,
where churches...
to say that things are going downhill because you can't pray in a public park, or Martin Luther King couldn't invoke the understanding of God in a public
Excuse
park.
Excuse me.
Not true. Okay.
I know of situations where a congregation has requested the use of a public park for a outdoor worship service and been denied because it's a public park.
Now, one thing that he might be talking about is exclusive use, which might be a different question. There's a difference between somebody just going to a public park and doing something, and there's a difference between that and using it for exclusive use. That's a different question. Like, for example, if you want to have the exclusive use of the courthouse lawn for a Christian manger scene...
Well, that's not what he's talking about, though.
That's not what I'm talking about.
Okay, what?
I'm talking about a situation where the park is open to anyone who chooses to be there. Mm-hmm. They want to... There is a pavilion that can be rented by anyone who chooses to rent it for any mm-hmm. purpose they mm-hmm. choose. Except if you choose to rent it for a worship service. They will not allow it.
Oh, I'd be interested in knowing exactly when that happened. If you could tell me the time and place that happened, I would say that would probably be unusual.
I'm sure it's unusual, but it's mm-hmm. the direction that we're going in it has
well, then,
happened.
Tell me when it was challenged. Tell me when and where that happened.
I'm not going there with you right now. It was
okay,
challenged,
well.
And they were told they couldn't bar it the next time.
They
okay?
What?
It was challenged
well,
in court.
Yeah, okay.
And
well,
they were told they couldn't bar
you know,
it. Would you mind
okay,
if
Bob,
I actually
right.
finished a statement, Bob?
We're just going to say goodbye to Bob here because Bob just doesn't seem to be able to listen as much as he talks. So go ahead, Pastor Moore.
It was challenged in court. But it took 9 months to get it to court, which was a little late for the service. My point is, this is the direction the bureaucrats and the courts are going. It will not surprise me in my lifetime if we get to a point where if I preach against homosexuality, I can be arrested. It's happening in Canada right now.
Here's an irrefutable point. And Bob can look this up on YouTube if he wants to. I believe it was in Colorado where a valedictorian was asked to make a speech. Valedictorians often do that. And as she was making her speech and she began to express her faith in the context of this school district / state-sponsored event, graduation, her microphone was turned off. Now, to me, from my perspective, this is irresponsible and it is oppressive. If the valedictorian obtains office in the school district and wants to impose her views on everybody in the school district, well, that would be a violation of separation of church and state. But turning her microphone off and denying her the free expression of her faith is equally oppressive in my mind, and all you got to do is look that up on YouTube. You can find that, and there it is. I understand what you're saying, Pastor Moore. We're headed in this direction where we're not simply separating church and state; we're expunging church.
Right.
And
the Constitution nowhere gives the government the right to do that. As a matter of fact, it is arguable that the Constitution specifically bars the government from doing that.
So. We're back to the original question. Are you fascinated, Pastor Moore, by all of the religious chatter that has happened both in the Democratic debates and in the Republican debates? In some ways, it's been the dominant issue.
Yeah, except, see, the thing that bothers me about it is that in all of them, it appears as though what's being attempted is the notion that if you actually take a strong position on faith, that should somehow disqualify you from the office. That's the underlying theme that I keep hearing.
Do you get the impression, I do, that it's a very small but vocal group of people who makes an assertion like that, and that the vast majority of people in this country are quite capable of dealing with somebody who sits in an office, whether it's mayor or governor or president, and who is a religious person in their private life, if you will, and a good governor in their public life? I think most people are fine with that.
Yeah, I think so, too. I really do. I think most people also understand that people who tend to look beyond themselves for answers are the type of people who also listen when people give them an idea or a suggestion and think through it.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Frank, you're on the Bible study.
Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning.
Good morning, Pastor.
Good morning.
Yeah, it's wonderful to listen to people like you speak. You speak so constructively and level-headedly. My ability to listen to KFUO over the past several years and all the various guest speakers and noted authorities has been such a blessing to me in terms of in helping update my mind in terms of what is right, what is true, and are there absolutes. And one of the things that you're speaking around now is the whole philosophic age we live in, which is one of, I think, Jean Edward Veith referred to it as postmodernism,
mm-hmm.
where everything is relative. And the thing that I've come to understand in what you're talking about in different terms is that every human being believes something. They may not have articulated it precisely, but everybody believes something. And every human being is trying to one extent or another, impose their beliefs on others. Everybody does that. Even the people that deny that they're doing that, the fact that they're denying certain things is an imposition of their beliefs on others. So when they say, whether it's a Christian saying that there's absolute truth, and we know that through the revealed word of God, or it's an atheist or anybody else, it's a marketplace of ideas, and everybody is trying to influence others. The term I use is actually they're trying to impose their belief system on others. And that's just the way it is, because it's a battle out there. Even the scriptures say that it's a spiritual battle for the minds and hearts and souls of men everywhere. And people, they don't seem to believe that. So when somebody says, you don't have the right to do this, like you were referring to about whether or not you have a religious person speaking in a public place and they don't have free right, they're trying to impose their view that is the correct view on others. It's inevitable that everybody believes something, and they're trying to impose that on somebody. And in the Christian view, that's the one that wants to be precluded from the public forum. They're trying to say, no, everybody else has the right except the Christian church, the Christian faith, the Orthodox faith, as revealed through the scriptures. And it's a constant battle. And you're talking about specific examples of that. And the thing that really alarms me is, like you referred to about Canada, where pastors cannot publicly proclaim the Word of God in all its truth, and even when that comes down to such important topics as homosexualities and things of this nature. And that's really something that the church needs to stand up and be really effective in the left-hand kingdom to ensure that those rights are not precluded in this country.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for the call. Pastor Moore?
Yeah, it's always nice when the choir comes in. I agree with them. You know, one of the things that we need to be aware of is that the truth of the matter is when a person says, I am not religious, I don't believe in any religion, the religion they are forwarding is atheism. And to tell me I cannot speak because I will offend your decision to not have a faith is no different than my saying you must be a Christian.
You know, the one thing that is troubling, it seems to me, here lately and already acknowledging my not very good memory, but it seems to me that we've entered a phase now where if you persist in the face of perhaps an atheist viewpoint like you described there, to free expression for your religious view, I'm seeing more shouting down and impolite behavior. It's just we're losing the ability, it seems to me, to have a civil discourse.
Yes.
Now, there's a difference between a legislator trying to pass a law that would impose Christianity or Islam or whatever it is on the rest of the people, and the rest of us just engaging in civil discourse, the free exercise thereof, outside of the halls of Congress, if you will. And that's where it seems that people are beginning to shout one another down from both sides. And I think that's troubling.
Yeah, I agree. One of the things that we need to be able to do is we need to be able to share and to listen to one another's opinions. There's, I once heard someone say, you cannot say you believe in the freedom of speech until you are willing to stand up and defend with all your might something you would take the rest, someone saying something you would take the rest of your life arguing against. You know, they have the right to be wrong. And we need to defend their right to stand up and say something that we feel is abhorrent.
That, to me, is the core of American freedom.
Absolutely, because when we lose that, then we no longer have the right to stand up and say that which is loving or caring or helpful, because someone else is going to get to determine whether or not it qualifies.
Well, do you watch the debates? Do you? I know that you're not hanging on every minute, but
not yet.
Do you keep your finger on the pulse of how this unfolds?
A little bit.
Are you stimulated by it? Do you find it fascinating and interesting, or are you troubled by it?
I find that the format of the debates, for the most part, makes it impossible for the candidates to actually tell you anything.
Well, I agree with you on that.
Okay. They come up with these formats that keep them from having to actually answer a question in any way that you could walk away going, okay, that's how they feel about this, that's how they feel about that. And so, in some regards, I think the debates are a waste of time.
Well, it's going to be a long road, brother.
Yes, it is.
It's November of 2008, so I hope you're braced for it.
Hey, at least we're almost to 2008.
Yeah, that's
I don't
true.
Mind an 11-month season.
Thank you so much, sir.
You're welcome.
Stay warm and God's blessings to you and the folks up there at St. Martin in Winona, Minnesota.
You bet. Pastor we will be talking to you in a couple weeks.
Okay. Pastor Richard Moore, our guest here on our Ask the Pastor program. Thanks for listening.
Listen to Chuck Rather and guests Monday through Friday at this same time on The Bible Study. The Bible Study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for The Bible Study to continue. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can contact us on the internet at kfuo.org. For a free copy of the Bible Study, please visit the audio archive section of our homepage. That's kfuo.org. The Bible Study is a broadcast service of Worldwide KFUO.